And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app TrueConnect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of TrueConnect exclusively for Raider Nation.
You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal here back after a week away here in our beautiful podcast studio at the Intermountain Health Performance Center. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our pals at Coors Light. And yes, like I said, we were away last week. We were here. We were in the building, but we were not in the studio. So it feels good to be back in the mix here. The lights on, the levels rolling. It feels good to be back in action. And man, for a week in, let's call it, what is it, late March, we got a lot of things going on. The league meetings are rocking and rolling, new rules to discuss, transactions to get to. We heard from Antonio Pierce earlier this week in Orlando. As I said, much to discuss. And speaking of Antonio Pierce, what we're going to do today, because AP spoke for about 35 minutes on Monday, Monday or Tuesday, earlier this week. He spoke for about 35 minutes, and you can catch the full thing either on Raiders.com, Raiders YouTube, or on the Raiders Press Pass feed, wherever you are so inclined to consume that content. And I encourage all you guys, go out there, listen to the full thing. He was great. But because of that, I want to just kind of bring back some of the highlights, some of our major takeaways from AP's time behind the microphone at league meetings from earlier this week. So we're going to do that in just a little bit. But we begin, as we always do, especially this time of the year. We have some transactions brought to you by Shift 4 Payments. So I'm going to go back to, about 10 days ago, because as I said, no episode last week. So since the last time we really hung out together, Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce have made the following roster moves. On March 18th, they re-signed defensive tackle John Jenkins and defensive tackle Adam Butler. Welcome home to both of those gentlemen. And also signed running back Alexander Mattison. I think it will be a great depth piece in that running back room. Obviously, Josh Jacobs out. It appears as though Zamir White will be the lead dog, but as is the case with the running back position in 2024, as is the case when you build out a roster, you need to have multiple dudes who can carry the rock, who can be effective, and it'll be great to see kind of how Mr. Mattison fits in to that overall mosaic of the running back room in 2024. And then a few days later, this was last week, Tom Telesco re-signed safety Isaiah Polamau, friend of the program, Isaiah Polamau. Good to see him back in silver and black. I think this is one of those signings, very sneaky, very kind of under the radar, not a lot of fanfare surrounding it. But Isaiah is a good player. He is a good, young, ascending player. I'll be really interested to kind of see what his role looks like in 2024. And I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I would have to assume the role that he carves out for himself in 2024 is going to be a little bit bigger than the one he had in 2023. Because you look at him, athletic dude, smart dude, a guy who contributes on special teams, a guy who can do a lot of things in a Patrick Graham defense. And we saw in bits and pieces what he could do in Patrick Graham's defense a year ago. And so, again, I'm really excited to see what that role is going to look like in 2024, because he certainly, from the outside looking in, appears to be able to take a step He appears poised to take a step forward, not only in his development, but in his production and what he's going to do in silver and black. So very excited to see Isaiah back here in Las Vegas. So I kind of teased it at the top. League meetings wrapped up. We're recording this on a Wednesday. They technically wrapped up yesterday. We heard from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. But really, the major takeaways coming out of the past few days in Florida, we got some new rules. We sure do. And I know rules are not the sexiest thing. Nobody likes rules. But I think the two main rules that came out of the league meetings for this session, two that I think really deserve time to be discussed and highlighted, and one as our resident special teams aficionado, I feel obligated to discuss. But beginning with the first one, just going in chronological order, The league officially got rid of the hip drop tackle. So I'll just read kind of the verbiage of how it's laid out. The hip drop tackle is a foul now if a player used the following technique to bring a runner to the ground. He grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's leg or legs at or below the knee. For a hip drop tackle now, that is a loss of 15 yards and an automatic first down. So, you look at everything the league has done in terms of trying to make the game safer, of keeping guys away from those catastrophic injuries. This certainly appears to be another tally in that column. Now, it sounds great. I think when you go through the verbiage, it comes off as pretty clear, I think, in my opinion. But this is one of those situations where I was telling the guys in the studio the other day, I was like, this is going to be one that I'm going to have to see a bunch during the regular season. And I think the preseason and how this is officiated during the preseason is going to be really critical just to educate not only the fans, but the players, the guys, of what they can do, what they cannot do, and kind of the penalties for when they do enforce this hip drop tackle. And I was looking at some of the stats, and the league, I think, did a really nice job of kind of presenting this, that, look, this is not a play that we see, 10 times a game, right? This is a play you see a handful of times over the course of an NFL Sunday, but you look at the stats and you look at the percentages of when this tackle is seen and then how that correlates to unfortunately injury. So I think this is a good move in the right direction for the league to kind of get this out, but I think this is going to be one of those, like I said, during the preseason, we're going to all have to keep an eye on. I'm really interested to see how it's going to be officiated because, look, I think that at this point in the game, and look, everyone's going to feel some type of way. Like if you've been on social media the past couple of days, everyone has their 2 cents on the hip drop tackle. And candidly, like I don't feel like I have enough experience hip drop tackling or witnessing the hip drop tackle to give a hashtag fire take on what I think about this. I will always, till the end of time, be a proponent of player safety and making this game an incredibly violent, explosive game as safe as humanly possible. Now, as I said, though, this is going to be one that I'm going to have to see a bunch during the preseason, during the regular season, to get an idea of one, how it's going to be officiated, what is a hip drop tackle, what is not a hip drop tackle, who's using what technique, if you will, of bringing guys to the ground. So at the end of the day, player safety is always a good thing. But again, we're going to have to kind of see how this bears out through the summer and ultimately into the preseason. And then, once we get to the regular season, how this is kind of officiated. There will be a moment, we know it's going to happen, where this is going to come into play in a critical portion of a game. And again, I'll just be really interested to see kind of how this matures from the preseason ultimately into the regular season and the end of the regular season. We also now, as our resident special teams advocate, we have some new kickoff rules. A new kickoff rule, I should say. Very similar to what we saw in the XFL a few years back. And I, for one, I'm really excited about this. I have thought about it a lot. I have pondered my kind of 2 cents on what I feel about the new NFL hybrid kickoff situation. And I'm not going to bore you guys with trying to explain this in an audio medium of what where the players are going to line up and who can go where and at what point. I would encourage all of you guys to follow the NFL Football Operations Twitter page because I thought they did a really nice job of kind of explaining it with diagrams and charts and things of that nature to show and to illustrate to folks like me who need to see it sometimes what it's going to look like, how it's going to feel, what's going to be different in terms of what we saw from last year and years past going in now to 2024. So essentially, what we're taking out of this now, is the running start. Right, we hear every single year, we see the stats from the league, from other folks out there about the inherent risk that comes into play during the kickoff, right? We've seen now how it feels like, I don't want to say the kickoff has been taken out of the NFL, but we see now so many teams just blasting it through the end zone, through the back of the goalpost, and the team, the team that's receiving the ball just takes over. What I think we're going to get now is we're going to get an exciting play, a safer play, a play to me that it feels like it's going to be more like a like a running play, if that makes sense, as opposed to a air quotes special teams play. I'm pretty fired up about this. Like, I think that this is going to make, I think it's going to be good for the pace of play in the games. I think it's going to actually result in a lot of jobs now. I think there's going to be a level of strategy that has to be brought back to kickoffs, right? There has to be no longer is this going to be, hey, we're going to throw a guy back there. He's going to wave his hand and we're going to take the ball at the 25 or whatever it is. Like, now you're going to have an opportunity to have kind of an impactful play on a kickoff. I think it's going to be safer. We talked about player safety earlier and everything the league is doing to kind of find that balance between exciting plays, meaningful plays, making sure that we, the fans, are staying in our seats, watching kickoffs, and managing that balance with making sure that players are safe, that this is a game that is played in the safest possible manner. So I'm pretty fired up for it. And I think it'll be really interesting, again, to kind of see the level of strategy that goes into this now going into 2024. Because if there's one thing that we know about an NFL head coach and a coaching staff is they want to find any type of advantage that they can over the opposition on a game day. So, again, that'll be really interesting to see. And I think for us as the fan, it's going to be more entertaining, right? Like, I know that, because me and my buddies have talked about this all the time. The amount of times that, Team X scores a touchdown, they're kicking off, and you just know they're going to blast it through the back of the end zone, and we're going to collectively waste 55 seconds to 90 seconds of waiting for the offense to come back on the field, and now, okay, we can turn the page to the next possession, and off we go. I think it's going to be a more entertaining play. I think it's going to be a safer play. And I think, for me, it was really interesting is you see folks around the league taking notice of the value now of having a really good kickoff specialist, right? Because this rule was announced yesterday. What's today? Monday, Tuesday. So Tuesday afternoon. And maybe like 15 minutes later, the Steelers announced they've signed Cordarrelle Patterson. Right, a dude who has made himself a lot of money in this league, including a brief tenure in silver and black, being a dominant kick returner. Right, so I think that the moment you see these rules finalized, teams go, "Oh, okay, like we need." There's value now. There's inherent value in being able to control that play. Let's bring one of the best of all time in to do it. If you're a Pittsburgh Steelers, so again, I think it all just speaks to making the game safer, more entertaining, and I, for one, am pretty fired up about how this is going to translate into the regular season. And when we do get the chance, when the offseason program starts, you can guarantee that I'll be talking to the cash money man, Daniel Carlson, about how this is going to impact his thinking, his thought process, how he is going to, as the kicker, going to attack kickoffs, and if he's going to do anything differently, or if there's going to be an added level of strategy, of strategery in what he's doing following a touchdown or a field goal. So again, really interesting. I think it's a good wrinkle for the game. I give the NFL credit for being flexible, for being adaptive, and saying like, hey, there's an area of our game that we can make not only safer, but more entertaining. Let's dive into this. Let's ponder this. Let's look at this in a meaningful, substantive way and see if we can make the game better and safer. So kudos to the NFL for doing just that. So as I said, kind of the big rule changes, they came out of the league meetings there in Orlando earlier this week. But really one of the major things that we, as members of the Silver and Black, of Silver and Black Productions, want to see and hear during this week in league meetings is the NFL coaches breakfast. So Antonio Pierce and his 31 counterparts around the NFL, they all sat down and they essentially do a half an hour media session. And certainly because of the nature of the beast, where it is not just Raiders media members there, you get all sorts of questions. I think that you get, you heard Antonio's takes on the aforementioned hip-hop tackle. You heard Antonio's takes on players in the draft, on process, and things like that. And so I think it's a great opportunity now as we are less than a month out from the NFL draft, which is wild. Now that we're officially less than a month out, I think it's a good check-in time for the head coach to kind of see where his head is at. Obviously, AP not tipping his hand in any meaningful way, nor should he, but I think it was a great opportunity to kind of hear from him and to kind of take away maybe where he's thinking, where he's leaning, what he has gleaned from this experience as we now get ready for the draft in, like I said, in less than a month. So what we're going to do is I have a few bites from Antonio, because I went through, I listened to the whole thing, and I'm taking my notes and I'm writing down my takeaways. And I think I just kind of wanted to share those this week since we obviously did not have a player interview. So I think the first one for me, and we're just going to go in chronological order. So if you're listening on the Raiders Press Pass, wherever you listen, just, you know, carry on, and we'll get to the takes when you get to them. But the first one for me is Antonio was asked about the team's ability or the team's desire to trade up and take a quarterback.
Whatever makes the Raiders better, I'm all for. And when I say I'm a go-getter, meaning whatever it takes to win, whatever it takes to get the best player to make our team the best, that's what I want to do, and that's what I like to see us do. Tom Telesco, you know, has a lot more experience in the drafts than myself. I'm going to lean on him and his expertise on what we should do. And if it's the right fit and that guy there that we want is the Raider and he fits the Raider culture in our way, then we'll go get him.
So, yeah, you heard from AP there. Everything's on the table. And I think if you're a fan of the Las Vegas Raiders, that's what you want to hear. You want to hear that, hey, we are not, you know, putting ourselves in a corner in any type of thought process, of mindset, of what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. And I think this is, you know, we've talked a lot over the past couple months about the partnership between Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce. And look, I see the same stories you guys do. I read the same tweets. You know, I like to think I have a pretty good idea, a pretty good sense of what the fan base is looking for and trying to take away. I know you guys are quarterback starving right now. You want the answer to the most important question in North American professional sports. Who will be the starting quarterback of your Las Vegas Raiders in 2024? I get it. We will not know that for some time, even if the Raiders were to draft a quarterback at 13 overall or in this, you know, kind of going through this exercise, if they were to trade up. There's no saying who will be the starter day one. But to hear that Antonio Pierce is like, look, we are kind of surveying the field. We are going to do what's best for the team. And if that's trading up, it's trading up. If it's staying pat, it's staying pat. I think that the balance between Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce, the fact that Tom has been through this experience dozens of times, he knows what to do. There will not be a scenario that plays out on draft night that he has not experienced before. So I think the fact that he is now going to be kind of that yin to Antonio's yang, or however you want to describe it, very, very exciting. You know, he also discussed, for obvious reasons, the free agent haul for your Las Vegas Raiders and brought, you know, one of the first questions he was asked was about, you guessed it, Christian Wilkins. So let's hear what Antonio Pierce had to say about one of the newest defensive linemen for the Silver and Black.
Makes life easier for us as coaches. I tell you that, when you get good players, makes life easy. But what it does, along with the other gentlemen we brought back, John Jenkins and Adam Butler, I mean, a lot of depth to that D-line room. You know, we want to be strong there. That's going to be our strong point of our team. As you can see, I think from 1 to 10, feel really good with those guys. You know, but Christian, the energy, man, personality, the love for the game. And now we got somebody on the front with Max Crosby, full-blown effort, you know, I mean, for 60 minutes. And that's what we're looking for. And I think for us to get a player of his caliber, the way he's played over the last – really, his entire career is going to be a blessing for Raider Nation.
And really, the major takeaway from AP talking about Christian Wilkins and obviously talking about that room is you heard AP say, look, the strong point of our team is going to be the defensive line. Didn't stutter, didn't mix words, didn't try to dance around it. Like, that is going to be the identity of the Las Vegas Raiders in 2024. That was the identity, surprising identity to some, myself included, of the 2023 Las Vegas Raiders. So now you look at the defensive line of Max Crosby, Malcolm Kuntz, who, again, I think is going to have an awesome 2024. Really excited to see what Malcolm brings to the table. You're going to have Max. You're going to have Malcolm. Now you have one of the best interior linemen in the NFL in Christian Wilkins. You have Tyree back in the mix. Do you throw him on the inside? Do you throw him on the outside? What does his role look like? You know, we talked earlier about the re-signings of John Jenkins and Adam Butler, two guys who had played really quality, meaningful reps for the Raiders in 2023. That is the strength of your team. That is the heartbeat of your team. That is the identity of your team. And so if you're the Raiders and you say you come out of last year and you feel really good about this is the strength, this is who we are, and you're going to make that strength even stronger? Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. And another important thing that AP hit on was he goes, you know, Christian Wilkins is obviously an incredible player. He's great on the field. He's great off the field. But he's going to match the energy that Max Crosby brings to the program every single day. And that is great because now if you have two legit big dog alpha leaders on that defensive line, well, you heard AP say it. That is going to be the strong point of this team. And we look at the kind of culture that Antonio Pierce is building. More on that in a second. And you look at the identity. You look at the personality of this team. And going back to, not even a year ago, but 2023, when this team was at its best, they were a defense-first team. They were an old-school, smash-mouth, not going to be sexy, we're going to grind it out football team. And that's what Antonio Pierce wants it to be, a former linebacker in the NFL. That's what he wants it to be. And so now, the fact that Tom Telesco is making a strength even stronger, very, very exciting. Well, we talked about it earlier, the quarterback situation for the old silver and black. Gardner Minshew is here, Aiden O'Connell is here, Anthony Brown is here. Conventional wisdom would suggest that the Raiders are going to add a quarterback in the draft at some point, whether it's at number 13 overall or somewhere down the line. Conventional wisdom would suggest there will be another quarterback on this roster when we get to May. But I think really hearing Antonio not only talking in his press conference with the media earlier this week, but kind of hearing his one-off interviews that he did with NFL Network and other folks, it sounds like Aiden O'Connell, for a very good reason, is going to get the opportunity to compete to be the starting quarterback of the 2024 Las Vegas Raiders. He has earned that right. He sure has. He came in when Antonio Pierce took over, and AP said, hey, this is the guy for the rest of the year. We're going to see what he has. And it was not perfect, right? There were moments that we all go, oh, I wish it was a little bit better. But there were a lot of really good moments. And you hear the locker room talk about Aiden O'Connell, a guy now who is coming back year two, who has been in the building trying to get better each and every day. But what does AP need to see from him now entering his sophomore campaign in silver and black? What does he need to see from AOC going forward?
I would love to see him become more vocal, right? Is he ever going to become a runner? No, not going to happen. That's okay. But there's other ways that you can do that and move around in the pocket. I think he's done a great job this offseason being in the building, staying in the Las Vegas area, and really working on that. So one thing I love to see him do is be more vocal. You know, you don't want the quarterback being a church mouse. And I don't need him being a rah-rah guy either, but, you know, when things is wrong, I need him to fix it and be vocal about it.
So, yeah, there you have it. You heard it straight from AP. He wants a more vocal Aiden O'Connell in year two. And look, you know, I think AP hit the nail on the head. He goes, you know, I don't need him to be the rah-rah guy. I don't need him to be a second Max Crosby, right? We got one of those. We know who the spiritual, emotional, physical leader is of the Las Vegas Raiders. Doesn't matter who walks in that door, who's under center. Number 98 is going to be the catalyst for everything that this team does, right? And he goes, I don't need Aiden to be that incredibly rah-rah type of guy, but I want him to be a little more assertive. I want him to be more comfortable in his own skin. I want him to be more comfortable leading the offense. And I think a lot of that is going to come naturally. Look, last year, Aiden O'Connell was a rookie. He entered training camp as, depending on how you look at it, probably the third quarterback on the roster. If you were to give Aiden O'Connell the truth serum last year in, let's call it July, I can't imagine that he thought he was going to play a lot of meaningful football as a rookie. And then you wake up, and Aiden O'Connell is the starting quarterback on November 1st of the Las Vegas Raiders. And look, there were moments, as I said, that were awesome. There were some really exciting moments. There were some moments that were not awesome, that were not super exciting. But we forget, because I think of his demeanor, because I think of how much college football we watched Aiden play, you forget that this dude was a rookie last year. Now entering year two, more comfortable, a much better understanding of what Antonio Pierce is going to want out of him. It'll be interesting to see kind of how he adapts and molds to what Luke Getsy wants in 2024. But I think we are going to see that more vocal Aiden O'Connell. I think we are going to see a more animated, more energized, more, you know, sure of himself Aiden O'Connell. Will that result in him ultimately being the starting quarterback week one? We got a long time to go before we have to answer that question. But I think regardless, we are going to see a better version of Aiden O'Connell in 2024 than we did in 2023. And the one we saw in 2023, not too shabby. Before we get out of here, though, just two more, actually, I want to get to from AP. And we have talked really from November 1st on. it is really kind of, it has felt like the driving factor of everything that Antonio Pierce has done, of every decision he has made, now every decision that he and Tom Telesco will make. But we talk about the culture that he's building here. And culture is such a buzzword, you know, we can, oh, talk about the culture, talk about the culture. But if you were in this building, you know, and we've heard it from players, we've heard it from coaches, we've heard it from almost everyone, something changed. Something was different when Antonio Pierce took over in early November there, right? And so now what he has built over the past November, December, 5 months going on 6 months, now we got to build on that. He built kind of the foundation of the house, you know, maybe the foundation wasn't fully done, but he bought the lot. You know, he bought the piece of property he was going to build the house on. You know, we got the contractors out there. You know, the architects have finalized the plans. We're starting to lay some concrete, lay the structure. You know, house ain't done yet, but we're getting. You know, we feel good. The permits have been done. Permits have been approved. We're rolling in the right direction. But now AP is talking about protecting that culture. He's protecting the investment, right? We got homeowners insurance. We're making sure that we didn't build, on a fault line. We're making sure that we're in a good neighborhood. We're making sure that, hey, we're properly away from the water and the mountains and this and that. Now it's about protecting the investment, protecting the culture. And Antonio Pierce talked about that candidly, honestly, and transparently earlier this week about why that was so important to him.
I'm the guardian at the gate. Not letting any evil come through that building. Not happening. Because that's important, man. Like, what we were able to do at the end of the season, what we're doing right now, I know you guys are not in the building. It looks different. It looks different. I can tell you that. The players are protective of it. You know, they want to know what coach you're bringing in. If you're bringing in somebody from ops or media or wherever, like, we're checking badges. We're checking resumes. We're checking how you are. That's important to us. I said it probably several times now, being a Raider is different. Being a Raider as me as a head coach is going to be really different. And we want that fit to be perfect. Is there going to be some ups and downs? Yeah. Are we going to have some disagreements? Yeah. But if we can't sit at this table and talk it out, and that's the problem. And I made a poor judgment when I brought him in the building.
And really the most important part of that, AP is saying the players are protecting the culture too, right? AP, a dude who understands the sanctity of a locker room, the importance of a good locker room, and the fact that the guys in that locker room, all 53 of them in the practice squad dudes, that they're taking the onus and saying, hey, this is what we're about. This is what we stand for. These are our tenets, our morals. A very good sign for the 2024 Las Vegas Raiders. And last, speaking of the 2024 Las Vegas Raiders, AP was asked about being an African-American head coach in the NFL in the year 2024. And he obviously gave a great answer to that. But I think, you know, when you zoom out a little bit, you know, I think that what AP said, how he answered that question, really kind of defines not only him, but how he's building things here in Las Vegas.
Man, I love it. I talked about it earlier, though, more than just being a black athlete or a black man, being a former player in this position, not doing it to the norm. I don't look like all the other coaches. I don't talk like other coaches. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There ain't no damn rule book or no process that you gotta be like X, Y, and Z. I can be AP and do it my way and do it the right way. And that's how we're gonna do it.
And he's gonna do it different, man. Like, he has said it from day one. AP is going to do it different. And to me, it just feels, I wish I had a more eloquent way to say this. It just feels very Raider. You know what I mean? Like, AP, you look at him, you look at the way he carries himself. You look at just his attitude, the swagger, the fact that this dude was a badass middle linebacker. It all feels very Raider. It all feels very silver and black. And it's hard not to get behind a dude like that who has a deep understanding of what makes the Raiders different, of what makes us a little funky sometimes, but what makes us so unique and what makes this place incredibly special when it is rocking and rolling the right way. So that was kind of our major takeaways from AP's media session in Orlando earlier this week. It was great to hear from him, man. I mean, 35 minutes. Again, like I said, I encourage all you guys, go to Raiders YouTube, Raiders Press Pass, Raiders.com to check it out. And it is in its entirety, because a lot of really good nuggets that we just didn't have the time to get to today. But one thing we do have the time to get to before we get on out of here is we have time to crack an ice cold bruchacho. And this week, I guess it's kind of like a beer and a half. We're going to crack an ice cold brewski for NC State's very own DJ Burns Jr. The big man from the Wolfpack on an incredible run right now in the midst of March Madness. And this is one of my favorite things about the tournament each year. You find these great stories, these great characters, and DJ Burns is 100% that. He is enjoying his moment in the spotlight, playing some pretty good basketball. They're going to take on Marquette on Friday night for a chance to go into the Elite Eight. And look, friend of the program, AJ Cole, a proud NC State alum, so very happy for him and his squad that they're having a pretty nice, I don't even want to call it a Cinderella run, but they're having a really nice run, and that program, that university is getting a little notoriety, and that's pretty cool. So before we get out of here, though, lastly, I encourage all of you guys again, I said it earlier, we are now less than a month out from the 2024 NFL Draft, which is absolutely bonkers. But we have had the great luxury, the great honor of having Rhett Lewis and Bucky Brooks just dominate the Raiders NFL Draft podcast for us over the past, month and a half, whatever it is. They're doing their thing. Their most recent episode, this can come out on Thursday. Their most recent episode is up on YouTube and on the Raiders Podcast Network. Listen to it, get smarter. Those guys have been doing an incredible job and have been such an asset to Silver and Black Productions in year two now of the Raiders NFL Draft podcast. So on that note, listen to all the pods, download all the content, give us your eyes, ears, everything in between. We appreciate you guys. We will see you same time, same place next week for our next episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.